Today marks the 1st of December, the first day of Advent, the first Sunday in Advent. Do a little plug here. I received this about a week and a half ago. I think I know where it is. Tonight's the night to start. Don't forget, this is a fantastic devotional our congregation has put forward, and it is beautiful. So remember this. Celebrate this season of expectation with your household tonight. But this day marks the beginning of the church calendar, the beginning of the Christmas season, and our Advent theme this year is transformation. And for many of us, Christmas is about change. Some of us might not find ourselves celebrating the season in the same way that we have ever celebrated it before. It might be because we have new family members. It might be because we're missing some family members this year. For some, the joy of Christmas is to hearken back in a nostalgic way to another time. Another time in our lives, and we celebrate because we're trying to unwork the change that we've experienced. We're trying to go back to what we know and love. And for some, the change is good, and we can delight in new things in this season. I hope that for all of us, this Advent season might be a time for God to transform us, to change us more and more, no matter the circumstances, into the image of Christ. Advent has to do with arrivals, this expectation. As we came in, somebody asked, "So, Robbie, being from California, do you like the snow?" And I said, "I love the snow. A lot of it has to do because I love spring." And so snow reminds me, oh, one day this is all going to melt and it's going to smell and be beautiful. But the snow is fantastic too. But Advent has to do with this expectation of something coming. We expect. Jesus was born into the world that was waiting for an arrival. The Psalm 80, the feeling of God, come and do something. This last line, let your face shine that we may be saved. This was God's people at this time were waiting for God to show up, expecting that God would show up. Because otherwise, his promises wouldn't ring true. They were waiting for God to step in and do something according to his promises. They were waiting for a Messiah, and they had high expectations. And I think we all have high expectations. We expect a lot. We expect that our lives should be full of blessing. We expect that we should have certain freedoms and accomplish certain things. We expect that our spouses, our parents, our children and grandchildren will live happy and healthy and fulfilling lives. We expect to have some measure of wealth and influence. We expect to be of sound mind and body for many years until we give up our ghost and not have it taken from us. We expect all of these things. And we rarely get all of them. Somehow God doesn't always deliver on the contract we have made with him. It might not have been through the words of angels, but somehow God has announced to all of us what we are to be doing, and it hasn't always been delightful. Like Mary, we may have wondered about the nature of the greeting. Like Mary, we might feel a little hesitant. Has God announced something new in your life? God might be asking you now to serve in a new way. God might be asking you to suffer in a new way. God might be asking you to bear pain for a season. God might be simply asking you to believe. And for some, it's difficult to put faith even into the concept of the virgin birth. There are too many questions, and it's far too easy to be taken in by ancient manipulations of the text. Just like Mary, we wonder at the nature of the greeting. And just like Mary, we are given the opportunity to allow our questioning to turn into trust. If Mary's story tells us anything, it is that it's acceptable to question God. We can ask. However, it seems that we need to be flexible enough to allow our questions to be answered. So how do we do this? I got three ideas. First is to see the announcement for what it really is. Mary wondered what kind of greeting Gabriel was giving. Many times, we are presented with an idea or an option that might make us wonder. We might be suspicious about the motives, We might need more information about the context. It is important to note that Mary stuck around to confirm her assumptions. And biblically, it's really interesting because many times when angels show up, it is not a wonderful thing. Evidently, angels are kind of scary. And there's plenty of stories in Scripture where the person who is visited by the angel falls over in a faint, because that's what angels do. Mary was a particularly brave person and stuck in to hear what the angel had to say. And I'm not sure what I would assume if an angel greeted me like that. I might be one of those guys that just passes out. But the point is, Mary didn't. She waited to see what the announcement might actually be about. This is a crucial aspect of Mary's character, and that one we should practice. What's really being said? What are the intentions behind the statement? Are my assumptions correct, or do I have more to learn? Of course, the only way to find out is to listen. My second suggestion is to ask the honest question. After Gabriel's announcement, Mary must have had a look on her face, because Gabriel then says, "Do not be afraid." Luke says she was perplexed and wondering. Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid." He continues with this incredible story. "Mary, you're going to be pregnant. You're going to have this son, and he's going to be named Jesus, and he's going to be an incredible person. Not just special, but the Messiah. The one that will reign in David's throne. The one who Mary and the rest of the whole nation of Israel were waiting for, Emmanuel." So Mary had stuck it out and heard more from the angel. She found the angel's intentions and hopes were really similar to her own. We know that Mary was from Nazareth. We know that at that time, Nazareth was a part of an area around Galilee that was experiencing a revival in the Jewish faith. There were a lot of pious folks trying to be faithful Jews in all sorts of different Greek and Roman cultural influences and all of the political stuff that was going on at that time. Everybody was trying to become leader of everything and take over. There was a lot of political danger and complications. This was a community that was trying to be faithful. So I think it's right to suggest that Mary was a pious woman. And she had interest in trying to urge her people to holiness, closer in a good and healthy relationship with God. And what Gabriel was saying was what she had always wanted to be a part of. Except for one thing. She had not been in a relationship with a man. She was a virgin. So, angel, how do I remain a pious woman and have all this stuff happen to me? That, if it's not going to be with Joseph, and if it's not going to be in a little while, because we're not married yet, that's not going to be according to my plan. And it is Mary's question that reveals that in her mind it was obviously not going to be according to her plan. It was obviously suggested to her that it's probably not going to be with Joseph either. Mary remains perplexed. And yet her question, "How can this be?" is an honest question. She could have beat around the bush. She could have asked searching questions, trying to find out the political and theological intent of the angel. She could have asked 16 different questions without actually asking the question that would really make the difference. How many times do we do that? I do that all the time. I don't want to ask the real question. I know I need to address it, but I'll skirt the issue. We know we should ask the question that matters, yet we bring up other topics, hoping that other person will bring up the topic we don't want to bring up. We ask the question, but the trouble is when we don't ask, the trouble is when we don't ask the honest question, the real issue, it doesn't push us to trust. It doesn't help our relationship grow. It's a stalling tactic. We don't ask the honest question because we are scared.
It's because maybe we're weak. Because maybe we're angry. We don't ask the honest question because maybe it is just downright embarrassing. And if I'm reading this right, you can imagine that this was downright embarrassing for Mary. Maybe even into mortifying. And me being a guy, I'm struggling to try to comprehend this. I imagine it must be something like having someone see right through you. Angel, what are you talking about? This is not just me doing God's will. This is all of me. I'm supposed to have a child without having a physical relationship with a man, or at least one that I know of yet. How is this going to work? That's an honest question that moves to trust. Of course, at this moment, there's a little bit of risk because Mary's wondering, can I buy into this? What are you talking about? But lastly, we need to know what answers to our honest questions will actually satisfy us. I am sure. Well, let me tell you a story first. When I was a kid, we had church camps, and there was a church teacher. Her name was Gray Fox. That was her camp name. And if you go to the church I grew up in and you mention Gray Fox, they'll know exactly who you're talking about. She was a fantastic Bible teacher. She spoke in a knowledgeable and compelling way. And during the course of one of our camps, there was a student counselor who decided it was going to be her job to try to stump Gray Fox. She would ask her all sorts of different biblical questions, all sorts of theological things, and it got to be kind of annoying. In fact, it didn't take long for Gray Fox to figure out that the student didn't actually want to know the answers to her questions. She wanted to stump Gray Fox, wanted to make her look foolish. And so the student was told, ask me a question you want to know the answer to. There's so many questions that Mary could have asked. I'm sure she had plenty of them. But when she received the answer to her honest question, she was satisfied. There wasn't any need for other questions. Mary could rest in knowing that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and the power of the Most High would come upon her. With God, nothing is impossible. That was the answer that Mary needed. From her question, she was able to come to trust. Let it be to me according to your word. So what answers do you need today? Do you question your circumstances? Do you wonder what God might be doing in the world? How has he been working? Why doesn't he seem to be working like we think he should? Take a moment to consider how your assumptions might be leading you away from the work of God in your life. How can you strip some of your expectations of what God should be doing and reveal what God is actually doing? Stick in there and listen to what God is saying. Have you asked the honest question? Are you upset with God or with another person? Have you asked the honest question to them? Remember that any question that is less than honest boils down to stalling and doesn't get us any closer to trust. It might take a lot of interior work to actually get to that question, the real honest question. But when we get there, we'll have learned something of ourselves and we'll be able to move forward into trust. But finally, what answer will satisfy you? Is there any answer that will give you rest? If you cannot think of a satisfactory answer, it might be that you aren't asking an honest question or that you have not peeled away all of the expectations and assumptions you are carrying around. But for most of us, the only answer that will ultimately satisfy is one which the Holy Spirit works through and that the Most High God exhibits his power in. This is what led Mary into trust. Knowing what God is doing and that God is in it produces trust. It says in 2 Corinthians, and all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as through reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. So I hope you can be open to this transformation this season. One that established in trust in God, working through God's power, God will change us into His image. So may God bless you this Advent season, so you may hear God clearer, have your honest answers and honest questions answered, and be transformed as you trust God's will for your life. Amen.